Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at the same number. Sandy Williams is here. You know, Sandy, we were talking off the air. And does it make you an anti-American to have the kind of conversations that you and I have? There are people who will say it does. It sounds like we're siding with Russia and all of those things.
No, I mean, I think the fact that we're having the conversation, first of all, I think we need to praise America for the circumstance.
That we can do it.
That we can do it. And
right.
We can do it fearlessly.
Right.
Right? I mean, you and I are doing it. I have no fear that
neither do I.
I mean, I might have someone show up and tell me they think I'm all wet.
Right.
Tell me that. But I don't have any fear of any sort of government reprisal or restriction.
And so, only in America can you do it.
Well, you can do it in a lot of countries.
Yeah.
But America has definitely preserved that right for us. And they've also preserved the opportunity for us, given our whatever our circumstance was, to succeed and live comfortable lives with successful families, and et cetera. But I think what I've talked about before is the fact that America needs to get better because of our pride in America. What we ought to do is we all ought to believe that we want this country we live in to be as good as it can possibly be, which means that we cast a critical eye at what we are to figure out how we can get better. And some of it has to do with sort of our own national psychoses. You know, should we really believe that we should export the American culture and the American value system and the American government to every country in the world, and will they all be better off with that? And or is that a fatuous kind of a thought? And, you know, does that ignore the reality that people come live in their own cultures, have their own worldview, have their own essentially view of how civilization works? I mean, is the Chinese culture isn't it dramatically different from the American culture, such that they might well have found a better, different way to govern themselves than we would offer them with our own government? Take Vietnam, the miracle of Vietnam. They continue to be a communist government. They've played with how they handle free competition within the communist regime, but it is a communist government, just as China is nominally a communist government. And does that make it wrong for them? And would we be doing them a favor by exporting what we have to them? We tried to do that for the Vietnamese.
You know, Sandy, I don't see ever a point, you know, in my limited vision of what the future of our nation is going to be. But I don't ever see a time where we don't force our views on other nations. I think that's inherent in who we are right now as a country. It's always been there. And, you know, we wear these things on our sleeves. We know what's in the best interest of the entire world because we're Americans.
Right.
And then when somebody there challenges that view, as you stated, then they become an enemy.
Yeah, that was
publicly.
That was the Pax Americana when the USSR collapsed in 1990. Clinton and people were talking about the period of Pax Americana, where America was the only surviving superpower,
right.
And it was up to us to basically get the world in line, keep it safe, make sure that governments everywhere were democratic. And we developed this concept of us being in charge as if the world was our oyster.
And the world never asked us to be in charge,
no,
right?
No. And in fact, there's substantial parts of the world that are pretty restless and restive with the notion that we would be in charge. And we're getting ourselves so extended that this assertion of superiority that we're making to the world is very expensive for the American people.
And something we can't sustain.
Yeah, I mean, you know, yesterday, the House apparently adopted $39 or $40 billion bill for, this is in addition to what had already been authorized for Ukraine. And it was clear that this wasn't the last one either. This is just for the next period of time.
Well, but the worst part about all of that, Sandy, is it is hurting our nation. We don't have these unlimited resources. And as you always talk about, those resources are being taken away from something else or somewhere else.
Sure.
That we could have benefited the American people. But then we turn around and say, we can't afford to benefit the American people, but yet we're willing to turn around and do this.
This was a bipartisan vote.
Right.
Of course. Because, again, our foreign policy is part of the patriotic liturgy of our country, and you got to toe the line. There's not to be much discussion about it. After the government has told you what our foreign policy is, we all put our hands over our hearts and get in line.
It's part of the thing, Sandy, that really irks me about our government, right? I mean, it really does. Because, you know, we can't talk about anything else. We can't even have dialogue about anything else, right? As a country, Democrats and Republicans can't ever settle on anything. It's been that way for a long, long time. And it's certainly going to continue to be that way, except, you know, for this.
Yeah, except for defense expenditures.
Yeah. And so is that, Sandy, because... that you're not going to remain an elected official long on the national level if you don't bite down on that bullet.
Right. I think ever since Joe McCarthy and the Red Scare, patriotism has been an absolute requirement to matriculate in our society successfully, much less to run for office successfully, and everyone feels compelled to do the dance, whatever it is, that demonstrates that they are a patriot. And because of the way we look at ourselves and our failure to look at ourselves critically, or our failure to be willing to look at ourselves critically, because we have this knee-jerk kind of America, love it or leave it concept for people who want to criticize what it is that might be going on in America, one of the most off-limit things to discuss is the stuff that makes up our patriotic liturgy, which is our foreign policy. And so we just don't discuss it. We don't discuss it in social events with one another, where people are much more willing to argue about tax policy than they are to discuss what our foreign policy ought to be.
Yeah, Sandy, here's something I was reading the other day in the Huffington Post. Generation Xers get skipped again. And yep, that's exactly what they expected anyway. This is by David Gergen, who I'm sure you're familiar. Generation X was forgotten again. Analyst and advisor to four presidents tweeted that it was time for baby boomers to step aside, which you constantly talking about. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Who do we have online?
Dave from Milwaukee's calling.
Hey, Dave, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Earl. I'm just calling to let you know that I share yours and Sandy's skepticism about the narrative that we're being sold. And really, any thinking American who has been alive in the last several decades knows that America has a credibility problem. First, they lied to us about the Gulf of Tonkin incident as a pretext for getting into the
Vietnam War.
That is no longer a conspiracy theory. That, you know, documents have been released that prove that that was totally fabricated. Okay? Also, the secret bombing of Cambodia. Daniel Ellsberg released Pentagon papers that proved that we were being lied to about the Vietnam War for a decade. And this was confirmed by Robert McNamara. We were lied to about America's involvement with the Pinochet coup and Henry Kissinger's and the CIA's involvement with that. Iran-Contra, need I say more?
Yeah.
Kuwait, the Kuwait incubator babies being tossed on the floor. You know, That was totally a total fabrication.
The
Contra,
the
Contra thing with Alfred with North, Ali North.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Yes. Yeah. So now we're told. You know, my alarm bells went off, especially with the weapons of mass destruction thing. We had Scott Ritter, an American Marine, heading the weapons inspection team for the United Nations, for the United States and the United Nations. He was screaming. He was there for years, okay? And right up until we started bombing, he tried to, he was out there screaming that they didn't have weapons of mass destruction. He was the only American, you might say, public official that told the truth. Okay, and all of the media was screaming weapons of mass destruction. Colin Powell, there's a real credibility problem. And so when the run up to this Russian invasion, when I tuned into the TV, all I could hear was every single talking head was saying it was unprovoked. And that's when the alarm bells went off. It sounded like the weapons of mass destruction line. And so, they're saying the line is it was unprovoked, Russia is evil, and there are no Nazis in Ukraine. And if you go do a little research, you'll find out that both of those are lies.
Hey, David, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Sandy? He points out.
Well, yeah, I mean, I just think people should have healthy skepticism about everything. People should always ask why. They should always explore the reasoning and seek to understand, make sure they can understand why. And I just fear that we've given our foreign policy a free ride, and it's allowed them to play with us. And they do as they choose. In fact, well, this was an article that was in this morning's paper about some craziness that Trump had talked about, and
he was running the military himself.
Well, yeah, and his Secretary of Defense was then talking about some of the crazy ideas he had, and one of them was that he should use missiles to attack some installations in the United States, and he said, no one will know.
I know. We've got to go to a break. It's not funny, but yeah. We'll be right back.